Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the Center for Inclusive Childcare, and I'm here with Priscilla Weigel, an Inclusion Consultant with the CICC. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy. Glad to be here.
Great. We are going to continue our discussion, which we had in our last podcast, about really what inclusion means. Since we've been talking a lot about children's development and some behavior challenges, we thought we'd go back to the basics and really talk about inclusion and what it means to early childhood providers and sort of set that framework. And last time we talked a little bit about the NAYC-DEC position statement, and we said we were going to define inclusion, and maybe you could give us the definition from that position statement. In a summary.
I was going to say, well, won't do it word for word, but really when you think of the word inclusion and the meaning behind that, it's taking the kind of the foundational belief system that all children, regardless of their abilities, regardless of a diagnosis, a special need, a delay of any sort, all children, infants, preschoolers, young children, are encouraged and included, meaning they are given the same opportunities that any child their age would be given. They are able to participate and be a part of and have access to what the community is providing for young children. And that's the goal. And so when we look at even just our inclusion consultation program, that is the premise of that, is to help children, all children. It's not just for a child that's on an individualized education plan. It's not just a child that has Down syndrome. It's a child that is somehow challenged within the framework of that classroom setting or that family child care home that needs some other supports that that provider isn't able to provide. And so that's kind of where we're coming from when we talk about inclusion.
Great. That's a great way to start and a great way to frame it. So we talk about inclusion. That's our philosophy. That's what guides us. Today, let's talk about some ways maybe we can help people who want, they really believe in inclusion, but maybe they need to kind of jumpstart things in their programs, and maybe some exercises or activities that you've done with programs to kind of help them change maybe the way they're thinking or key in a little bit more on that belonging or acceptance piece for young children. So have you got some ideas around that?
I do.
Great.
One thing that is very important is how we model that acceptance as the adults in the room, because children watch us like hawks. They see, how is Priscilla accepting this child when they are having a temper tantrum on the floor? In fact, I was just talking to a teacher yesterday about a little boy who, when he doesn't get his way, he tantrums. And so all the other children have now just kind of come to the point of covering their ears, moving away from him, not wanting to play with him. So he's a guy that doesn't have anybody to play with. So he's missing out on all that critical learning and practice that's so crucial to early childhood. So one thing that, through observations and just watching, noticing, I noticed that the teachers, when those tantrums are happening, there's no adult saying, boy, you know what, I can tell you're mad about that. Or, you are tired of sitting and waiting. I agree, it's been a long wait. They're not labeling any of those emotions.
Right.
They're not saying to the child, I understand why you're feeling this way. And so you say, oh, I can see you're really mad about that, but you know what? When you're really mad, just falling on the floor and screaming doesn't tell me what you're mad about.
Exactly.
And so that wasn't happening. And so then the other kids are just seeing that as, that's just a bad kid. He's the monster. He's the one, and all these negative things are heaped on this little guy's head when really all he is frustrated. And he's mad because of the environment or the situation. And so explaining that to other kids, and that's the one piece about that belonging. We all want children to understand that a kid's a kid. It's just, they like to play, they like to sing, they like to run, they like to get dirty, they like to, laugh. Maybe they do it differently. And so encouraging teachers to even just ask those critical questions that kids come up with. Why does he do that? Why is he hitting, why is he drooling? Or why are you just matter-of-factly, confidently answering those questions of children instead of doing the shh, don't ask, or I'll tell you later, or you don't need to know that. But saying to the child, yeah, you know what, he does do it a little differently than you do,
right.
And everybody's different, and I've noticed that he likes to, when he's drooling, he uses his sleeve to wipe it off, and then I'll just encourage him to go wash his hands, and you could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
If that's bothering you, you could let him know that you don't want it to touch your body. But it's not a big deal. You know, and so it's just that modeling of calm and acceptance that
right.
our behavior shows children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do it. It's amazing. They
right.
do it.
Those are two great strategies, modeling and then also answering children's questions
mm-hmm.
honestly and with compassion and empathy as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And also including books in your repertoire in your
mm-hmm.
classroom that just show, not necessarily this is Joe with Down syndrome, but
mm-hmm.
here are children of all abilities playing and learning together in the same classroom setting. And what's fabulous about children's books nowadays, there are so many options
great.
For that.
Yep.
There are so many great books out there. And so that's another way to do it. And then play partnering. Sometimes children with special needs or children who have challenging behaviors, they're the kid that's left out a lot. And so that sense of belonging isn't there because they're not belonging to anything.
Right.
And so encouraging other kids in the class, other children who are good players, easygoing, pairing them up. And even just saying, you know what, for free play, for the first 10 minutes of free play, we're going to do play partners. And I have already figured those out because, of course, you don't want him to be the last one picked on the team. But you're going to have those partners set up, and you're going to have them do something that requires give and take, like puzzles
mm-hmm.
or Play-Doh with just a few toys or the sensory table with just a few things. So they have to talk to each other, and they have to ask for things.
Excellent.
So that's another thing, is just that partnering up with. And then another one that works great is giving the child with a special need a hot prop for dramatic play or the dollhouse or blocks and have them carry it over to that area so that the other kids have to ask if they can play it, so play with that toy.
Excellent.
So that it's another way to make that social connection.
So give them the toy with a lot of the bells and whistles
mm-hmm.
or something
mm-hmm.
that is particularly desirable to all the kids
sure,
so
yeah.
they'll have friends come over to them.
Right. And that
great.
And all those little things, they're really not specific planned activities.
Mm-hmm.
What they are just changing the face of your environment, making it accepting and inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Not sitting the kids down and saying, you will do this through just that talking at them.
Right.
But letting them ask those questions and be comfortable
mm-hmm.
and also letting them see that this child is a child just
right.
like them and wants to have fun.
Right. Excellent. Those are great strategies. Have other activities you can think of?
Oh, there's a whole bunch. Another one that is a great one is just having going around the circle and talking about what everybody's good at
mm-hmm.
as an adult in the group. So you're going to go around and you're going to maybe do the first three kids and say, oh, Cindy's so good at whistling. I could not believe it the first time I heard her whistle. And you know what? Sally's really good at clapping her hands to the beat. That was something I noticed. And then you start to have the other kids help with that. And so you're going around the circle and you're saying that about everyone. And that child that has the special need that maybe isn't typically a part of things, either you're going to be the one or you may be surprised. One of those other kids is going to jump in and say, oh, you know what I noticed? He's really good at hopping on one foot. I didn't know that until yesterday when we were in the gym. You know, so it's just in making that a regular practice. You know, when I was a classroom teacher, I used to try to do that at least twice a week, where we went around the group and everybody got a chance to really have that moment in the sun, even if they didn't want it. Some kids don't want all that attention, but it's just that little positive reminder that says to their peers, they have something that's really important to this group. They give something important to this group, and this is what it is.
Right. Very good. Yeah, I think what you're saying, with all these tips are very useful to early childhood teachers and providers, because what it does is it helps them see that really it's what we're talking about here is what they naturally do anyway.
Right.
It's about helping all children feel a sense of community,
mm-hmm.
Feel a sense of belonging to the setting.
Yeah.
It's about developmentally appropriate practice, about meeting individual learner needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that sometimes when a child comes in with maybe an assessed need, or a child comes in and they have a behavior then that becomes challenging, sometimes we get a little bit we let that sometimes become the thing, then that's what we see now,
exactly.
instead
exactly.
of the child.
Right.
And we sometimes have to stop, reassess ourselves, mm-hmm. our attitude, and then say, oh, wait, let me go back to what I know my practice is, which mm-hmm. is including all children.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we don't want to underestimate, again, the need for supports for that
right.
teacher or that child care provider, because sometimes that is a very important part.
Definitely.
But when the provider or the teacher can see, what does this child really need? This child needs to be part of the program. That's the participation. That's what all children need.
Right, right.
This child needs access to activities, to equipment, to my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every child needs, mm-hmm. not just a child with ADHD or a child with autism. And I need supports in order to do my job well, and the child needs supports as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all teachers need as they're doing their job every day. So mm-hmm. when you frame it like that, I think it's really empowering, and it really helps us see that inclusion, it's kind of a fancy word, but it's really a positive word.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
So thank you again so much. This has been a great conversation today, and mm-hmm. I think we're going to move in now to some other topics that with now our framework of inclusion will really be helpful to our listeners. So I thank you again, Priscilla, for being with
sure.
us today.
Glad to do it.
That's all for now. See you next time.